All right, we will go back to Ephesians 2 and finish these first three verses. When we started reading this chapter, we went through verse 10. I don't want to get into verse 4, down to verse 10, because that is a blessed part for us that know Jesus Christ our Savior. That's where God has quickened us and made us alive and saved our soul and separates us from the evils of this world. But this scripture here, in our third message on this, just tells us how bad it was before God saved us, how bad we were before God saved us. And we can study this and understand how bad the world is right now, even if we don't see it. Let's go to verse 1 and chapter 2. It says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins," excuse me, "wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." So the first thing we looked at in this message I have titled, "The Spiritually Depraved Graveyard," speaking of the world and their lost state. The first thing we talked about is that people are spiritually dead. That is, they have no spiritual life in them. And this world is nothing more or less than a spiritual graveyard. Our second scripture is, since they are dead, they are disobedient to God. They have a reason to be disobedient to God. It's when we come to the children of God, we have no reason to be disobedient to God. But the world does. Those that are lost in this world, they are. Because he said in verse 2, "Where times past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." That's where you were. That's what you done. That's where you walked. That brings us down now to a very hated topic, but a topic that I thought we had to add to this series. And that is in verse 3, we're going to see that they are totally depraved. He says in verse 3, "Among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lust of the flesh," listen, "fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." That's what we were. We were totally depraved just like they were. You did not cause your salvation to come about. We're going to find out starting the next, in a couple weeks, when we come back and we start this last part of this chapter, or the middle section of this chapter, we're going to find out that God had quickened us. He had made us alive. It wasn't by us and our greatness or our power, because our power was in this flesh. He says, "Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and mind." Our fleshly desires and our mind itself was all fulfilling the things of this world that is controlled by Satan and his demons, which is sin. And he goes on, the Lord goes on here to put a big old rubber stamp on it where he says, "We're by nature the children of wrath." That's what we were. Children of wrath, how? By nature. It is man's nature to be disobedient to God. All of these things we've looked at, all of these things that we have studied, it is our nature as lost people, not ours as saved people, I'm locking everybody together here, but let's just change it. People's nature, okay, to be nowhere wanting to desire God at all. Salvation is the simplest thing in this world. The Lord God said to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But the natural man understands it not. The natural man cannot grasp it. Even these people that go to these big churches every Sunday, who listens to their Armenian preachers every Sunday, or whatever denomination they may be, they listen to them every Sunday, and they cannot figure out the simplicity of salvation is in Jesus Christ and not ourselves. We are what we are in the flesh, our nature and our minds, and everything about us is subjected to this world and Satan. So our first subpoint is this. The lost sinner lives to please, listen, the desires of the flesh and the wishes of the mind. Their actions are sinful because their appetites are sinful. They want sin. God says they drink sin like water. They love sin. That's man's nature. That's what man is. We are born sinners. The Lord said we are conceived in iniquity. Come from my mother's womb, speak in lies. By the word depraved, you are not saying that they only do evil in life or that they are capable of doing good. You're simply saying that they are incapable of doing anything to merit salvation or to meet high standards of God's holiness. Lost people are capable of doing good things. They can open the door for our ladies. They can give you money. They can help you out. They can almost perform miracles in their medical profession. Most people can do a lot of wonderful things in this world, but they do nothing in their life to merit salvation. None of it has anything to do with salvation. Nor does any of it please God. They are totally depraved, incapable of doing anything holy or righteous at all. Second, this is why works cannot be a part of salvation. Our works do not meet the high standards of God's holiness. Do they? The only reason our works as Christians meets the high standards of God is because they're done how? In Jesus Christ. God gets nothing good from lost people. They are incapable of doing anything for our God. Only the blood of Jesus Christ and the works he accomplished does anything like fulfilling the law of God. Luke chapter 6. Jesus Christ did our works for us, folks. It's like I talked to this Armenian yesterday who believes in works for salvation, who believes that you can be saved and lost, who believes that he's only been saved once. And after he was saved, he lived good enough to please God. And I assume he's never sinned again. Now, I never could get him to talk about those things because he didn't want to. They don't want to talk about things like that because they know you're going to catch them. It's like a habitual liar. You're always going to catch them in a lie. Most people, you always catch them in deception. because that's where they live, in deception. Only the blood of Jesus can make anything we do righteous. Only the blood of Jesus can make us holy before God. And only the faithfulness and righteousness of Jesus Christ in fulfilling the law, he did, is the only reason we're able to fulfill the law. We will stand before God in his holy city, before his holy throne, as though we've never committed a sin or broke a law or broke a commandment, ever. In Luke chapter 6, verse 33, it says, If you do good to them which do good unto you, what thank you have for ye? For sinners also even do the same. They do the same thing we do. We're no better Christians in our walk in life than some of them. The only difference between us and them is we're saved and we do it in a righteous way, and they're lost and they do it in an unrighteous way. They go to church. They read their Bibles. They pray. They give their tithe. See where I'm going with it? Mentally, they think they're saved, but spiritually, they're dead. Romans chapter 10, if you will. A familiar scripture to you. And we'll go to 2 Corinthians 4 from there. In Romans chapter 10, verse 2, Paul wrote these things. He says, "For I bear them records," speaking about Israelites. He says, "For I bear them records that they have a zeal for God." They do. Some of these lost people in these Armenian churches have a greater zeal than a lot of Christians do. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. In other words, they don't understand what they're doing. Amen. They don't understand why they're doing it. Why do you do things for God? Because the Lord commands you to, doesn't he? And you want to satisfy God. Because God told you to do these things. That's why we do them. They don't know why they see. They're doing them for why? Their salvation. They're doing them for their works. They're doing it trying to get to heaven. Jesus is going to get us to heaven, and they're not going to get there. Don't mean they don't have a zeal. God said they do. He goes on in verse 3, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Why not? Why can't they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? One simple way, reason. Because they are spiritually dead. God said over in Romans 10, with the heart, that is with the spirit, with the heart, not this old thing that pumps blood, but with the spiritual heart, man believeth unto righteousness. They can't believe, see? They don't know how to believe. So when they look at the same scriptures we look at, they don't see them. They're depraved. And the Lord's sitting here telling us, reminding us, that's who we were. That's what we were. Remember back before you were saved. And remember after God saved you how your life changed. If it did not, you have an issue. Because I guarantee you, when God saves you, your life changes. Your thinking changes. Your heart changes. to wanting to do for God and satisfy God, because that's what the Holy Spirit meant. So they go around to about trying to establish their own righteousness, and they're not going to submit themselves unto the righteousness of God. They don't know how. They don't know how to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's like Greek to them. It's as simple as picking a pencil up off of the floor. And they can't do it because they're totally depraved. They have no abilities. Nothing about them will allow them to believe. So, being depraved as they are, they want to be religious. So they go about and create their own damnable heresy of a religion. And they grow, and they grow, and they grow. And Satan takes care of them. You know, people talk about God blessing us, and God does bless us. Don and I are more blessed right now than we've ever been in our life. Right now, today. Even with bad health with both of us, we are more blessed today than we've ever been in our entire lives. Because God just continually blesses us. Well, you know what? Satan blesses them. He makes them grow. He brings the money in. He puts the rear ends in seats. He brings in the musicians. He brings in the singers. He brings in the multiplex towers and operations that they have to put them on TV. Who do you think made Joe Austin? I mean, who will listen to that nut? You see? He's a high worker for Satan. And Satan's blessed him. He has a lot in life. I hope he enjoys it. His multi-million dollars, houses, cars, planes, everything else he probably has. Because when he dies, he's going to go to hell. He's going to burn for eternity. Unless God saves his soul. And I don't see that happening. They go around creating their own righteousness out of their depraved hearts. Nothing righteous about it. Nothing. God says they change the truth into a lie to serve themselves rather than the Creator. Isn't that what they do? Do they like the sovereign grace of God? God is sovereign. Do they like the fact that God chose us before the foundation of the world? No. In fact, they'll tell you that God can't save your soul. That God can't even change your will. The same one, the same being that created the world, the angels, the heavens, and heavens, and the sun, the moon, the stars, and everything else in the galaxy. But over 250 galaxies, they think. They don't know how far and how deep the heavens are. This same God cannot change your will. Now I ask you, is that not stupid or not? What do you think it means when God says, for by grace you're saved through faith, not of yourselves, it, salvation is a gift of God. Not of works. 2 Thessalonians 4. Let's get moving. I've got a lot here to get to, and I may not get to all of it. People cannot accept God's reasoning Listen, people cannot accept God's reasoning, God's logic, God's acceptance of us, because Satan has totally blinded their minds. In whom, it says in verse 4 of chapter 4 of 2 Thessalonians, in whom the God, that Satan, of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, that not they believe the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, that it should shine unto them. Well, let's go back real quickly to Ephesians 2. And verse 3. And it says, among whom also we had our conversations in times past, in the lust of the flesh, of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of flesh and of the mind. If Satan has the mind blinded, how can you unblind what Satan has blinded? You can't. It takes the power of God to overpower Satan. It matters not how much zeal they have. It don't matter how anxious they are to serve God. It don't matter how much they do for God. It don't matter how often they go to church. It don't matter how much money they give. It don't matter how much praying they do. How many decisions they may make. How many times they take of the Lord's Supper. It don't matter, folks. It don't matter how much zeal they have or how many works they have. It matters not. If they repent 100 times, all that matters are if God has changed them. John 6:44 says, No one can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. That's the only way you'll ever come to Christ, is if the Father draws you in. The same drawing power Jesus had. Remember the drawing power he had when Jesus walked upon this earth? And he walked by these people fishing. They didn't know him. They'd never seen Jesus before. They had no idea who he was. What do you think they would have said if I had walked by and said, "Hey, y'all drop those nets, come follow me, we'll make fishermen of men"? They would have had a laugh fest. They would have laughed at me so hard it's pitiful. But here is Jesus walking by them that are in the boat, or fishing, casting their nets. And he says, "Hey, come follow me, and I will make you fishermen of men." And what did they do? They immediately dropped their nets and followed Jesus. That shows you the power of God overpowering Satan. And Jesus promises, if the Father that sent me draw them, I will raise them up in the last days. Well, we're going to skip down to our fourth point. Our last point for the last 20 minutes of this, because I want to get into it. I think I've done enough on total depravity. People on their own cannot come to Christ. They will not come to Christ. They will refuse and reject him. These people, let me ask you this. These people that were at that here, Pontius Pilate asked them to, if they wanted to release Jesus or if they wanted to release the murderer. Let me ask you a question. Do you think them were bad people? You say, sure they were. They crucified Jesus. No, not necessarily. They were high priests of the Jews there. Pontius Pilate was a high-ranking man in the government. I'm sure these people were good people. I'm sure that these people had good hearts. As far as lost people can have. I'm worldly speaking, not spiritually speaking here, okay? I'm sure they loved God in their own way, in their own mind. I mean, you take a lot of people that worship the Lord today, these are not bad people. They do it ignorantly, they do it because they created their own righteousness instead of righteousness of God. But I know about y'all. They're good people. They don't know anything about salvation. They don't know anything about righteousness. Nothing. Our last point is this, found in verse 3 of our text, at the last part of verse 3 of Ephesians 2. They were by nature the children of wrath. If they're totally depraved, and they are, the Lord goes on to put a stamp on that, saying by nature, they are the children of wrath. Now, how does one change their nature? You can't. No more than you can change your skin color. No more than you can change your sex. You're born a man, you're a man when you die. I don't care what you do to your body. You can mingle it all you want to, you're still a man. If you're born a woman, you're still a woman when you die, no matter what you do to your body. Michael Jackson could dye his skin a million times and turn white as shit if he wants to. He's still an African-American man. Leper can't change his spots, Ethiopian can't change his skin, and mankind cannot change their nature. So what's that say? What does the Lord mean when it says they are by nature the children of wrath? They're doomed. That's our last point on this. They're doomed. They have no hope. None. Hope is something God gives in Christ Jesus. Hope is not found in us. If it's found in us, we have no hope. Hope is what we have when God showed us Jesus and God showed us the blood, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior. John Gill wrote these words when he speaks about we're by nature children of wrath. He says, by which it's meant not only that they were wrathful persons, living in malice, hate, and hating one another, but they were deserving of God's wrath, which comes upon the children of disobedience. As we study the book of Revelations, we're going through it on Wednesday nights. We went through the tribulation part. We're into the marriage supper now. But we went through the tribulation period and we saw horrible things. And while we feel sorry for them, we feel pity for them, they deserve it. and they're deserving of the eternal lake of fire when they die. So are we. But God graciously saved us from that wrath. Remember the scripture in Romans where it says you are saved from the wrath? Sorry, folks, I just can't write all these scriptures in here. If I do, we'll be here for a millennium trying to get through this. This is deep stuff. This is wonderful stuff. But they're doomed. Now go to John chapter 3. Listen carefully to what God says here. Remember John chapter 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, that is Jesus, they'll not perish but have everlasting life. That's God's promise to us. That's a promise. If you want to say, all right, that's the promise to the world, that's the promise to the world. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. But to those that are doomed, to those who are the by nature the children of wrath, God has this warning for them in verse 17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Listen now. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Did God just lie to us? Or did God just tell us that if we believe in Jesus Christ, we're saved and we will never be condemned? That's what he just said, wasn't it? He says, and he that believeth on him is not condemned. But listen, here's what I want to get to. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Already condemned. Every one of them. They're set to go to hell. Every one of them. The same God that destroyed every man, woman, and child outside the eighth of his only ark. Every animal, every beast, every fish, every bird, everything else on this earth, except for that was on the ark. The same God that destroyed everything and everyone is going to send every one of these people to hell. They're doomed. They have no hope. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son, not because he didn't work, not because you didn't live good enough, not because you didn't go to church enough, not because you didn't give enough money to the church, not because you didn't pay the preacher enough, not because of anything else, not even because you didn't send Joel Osteen enough money or any other TV preacher. Because you've not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, that's Jesus Christ. And this is condemnation, that life has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. They don't just dislike Jesus, they hate him. Neither come to the light. Total depravity. That's it, folks, right there. That's total depravity. Lest his deeds should be reproved. They refuse it. They reject it. They mock it. They laugh at it. That's what my friend on Facebook was doing. He was laughing at Jesus Christ and what he's accomplished in us as Baptists. Romans 1. God never said, they do not try. In fact, they try so hard that they change the truth into a lie to satisfy their zeal to serve God. But in reality, they only serve the God of this world, the God of their make-believe minds, which is what Satan has caused their minds to believe. And this is satisfying to them. In Romans chapter 1, verse 25, one of my favorite scriptures of late, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature. You know, it makes me think, as I'm reading this, who is the creature? I keep saying that to serve themselves. I keep saying that, don't I? But isn't Satan a creature? Could God actually be talking about Satan here? That the God in their minds, the God that's a figment of their imagination, the God that has their minds blinded, he loves to be worshipped, doesn't he? I wonder if God is actually telling us here, when they worship the creature, I guess you could refer that to them, but I think you could also refer that to Satan, couldn't you? Because he's a creature, and they love to serve him more than the Creator. Because the Creator is blessed forever. But notice here, the verse down, the first part of verse 26. And for this cause, you hear that? What cause, Lord? Because they've changed the truth into lie, to worship the creature, whether it's Satan or themselves. For that cause, what did God do here? God gave them up to vile affections. That's what God done. God didn't beg them. God didn't plead with them. God didn't even save them. God gave them up to their vile affections for this worship of the creature, whether it's him or Satan, it don't matter. What's the same? Now notice verse 18 and 19, when it says that God gave them up. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Stop there for a second. The wrath of God comes down upon the unrighteousness of this world. I know people don't like to accept this or believe this, but when we have disasters, God sends them. It's time to wake up and realize that what we do in America and what we do in the world to hate God, God's letting us know, hey, I'm here. You can accept that or reject it. I could care less what you do with it. I'm telling you what, it's a fact. On the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold not the truth of righteousness, who hold the truth of unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. You hear that? God makes known his wrath in them. Now, look at this last part. For God has showed it unto them. Bam! Here comes the tornado. Here comes the hurricane. Here comes an earthquake. Here comes a plane crash. Here comes school shootings. Oh, God would never do that to our children. These are children of wrath. Sorry, truth's the truth. If God wanted our children to be saved, He'd save all of them. We may look at it as sad, but God looks at it as righteousness, and that's exactly what it is. God has a right to do as He pleases with His own creation. Well, I'm going to run through this last part real quick. Romans 3. And then we're going to Genesis and back to Romans. Romans 3. We're going to Genesis and back to Romans. Real quick. I'm going to do this in the next 5 minutes. God said that there's no good in them. God said there's no good in them. If there's no good in them, what's wrong with them? They're doomed. He says in Romans chapter 3, verse 12, they are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There's none righteous, none that doeth good. No, not one. Not one of them. The fall itself with Adam and Eve separated mankind from God. They hid themselves from God. Here you go, Trump. They put a wall between them and God. So God kicked them from the land of utopia and caused them to die, both spiritually and physically. The world would never repent and return to God, but only continue in disobedience to God. We saw that in the flood, didn't we? The sinfulness continued till almost no righteousness was found upon the earth. Let me ask you a question. Everybody keeps talking about how righteous Noah's family was. I may have missed this, and if I did, I apologize. But I find the righteousness that God found in Noah. I found because of God's grace and mercy, He allowed Noah's family to be on there. But the righteousness God found was in Noah. Genesis 6. Therefore, God destroyed the world. He says in Genesis 6, verse 5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great upon the earth. Their minds were evil. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Imagine what God sees when he looks at the world today. Genesis 9. So God allowed Noah, because he's righteous, and his family on the ark. And God floods and destroys everything because of sin. He lowered the mountains, caused the birds where they couldn't fly, caused the fish to drown. You would think that sin's gone, right? I mean, you only got 8 people on the ark. You would think that sin would be gone, right? Notice in Genesis chapter 9, verse 20, and Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and told his 2 brothers without, and Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid upon his shoulders, and he went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. Ham's son. And God cursed him and his people because of it. So God destroyed the earth, killed out sin, and here it appears as soon as they get off the ark and start a vineyard. Man gets drunk, and his son, whatever exactly happened, I don't know. Not going to speculate. Romans 5, real quickly, I'll get done. This is our last part. The sin and people's desire to sin will never change unless God changes it. No matter what they do, they're damned. They cannot change themselves. God has point blank a million times over in the Bible told us that man is depraved, totally depraved, they cannot change themselves. He said they're condemned already. They're not going to be. They already are condemned. People are already damned to eternal hellfires if God does not change them. Notice in Romans 5, verse 15 and 16, I'll end with this. But not at the offense, so also is the free gift. For if the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abound unto many, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by the one condemned to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. So just as Satan brought damnation to the world through Adam, God brought grace and mercy and salvation by Jesus Christ. So by one, the world is condemned, and by the second Adam, grace and mercy come from God to save an unrighteous people. Next time we open up these scriptures, we're going to talk about the grace and mercy of God.